What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 142. As always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to Amazon, or excuse me, go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy your stuff there. I mean, it's Amazon Prime Day yesterday, so why not use our link and go buy your stuff that's super on sale, and then get a little kickback from that. We can use that to put the podcast on, do other things with the site, you know. Money is needed. We appreciate it. With us today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? You talked about Prime Day. Did you buy anything on Prime Day?
I did. My Kindle, I had like the first generation Kindle Reader.
Okay.
And it was like one of the best products I've ever had. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's basic. There's nothing that needed to be changed. It was just good to go, you know? And it just died on me. Like, half the screen like froze up and it was just done. So I had to replace that, and I did that. I just went to Best Buy and I bought a replacement. It was like $80. The like $100 one, the basic one, was on sale, and it's a little bit nicer. But like, really, it's, you just read books, right?
Yeah.
So you don't need, it doesn't need to do much of anything. But Prime Day comes around, and of course it's on sale even more. So I got the upgraded version, which has like a higher DPI, and it's got a built-in backlight. So I was like, I might as well upgrade to that for the same price. I'll just go ahead and return my Best Buy one that I've used for a few weeks and call it a day.
There you go. What did I buy? I'm trying to think of stuff I bought. I didn't buy...
You bought that much stuff?
I don't think. I bought like a bunch of like random non-tech things. Like, I bought like a new shower head and like some like random... Let me log on to my Amazon and see.
Bob's out here buying candles and stuff on Prime Day.
There's a lot of stuff on sale. It actually is. Let's see.
Yeah.
Orders. Let's see.
Is it still going or did it end?
It ends tonight. If early listeners of the podcast can get on it. I bought a new pair of sunglasses, which are like, I bought these exact same pair, but it's just earlier this year, and the company has them on half price for Prime Day. So I bought another same pair of sunglasses, but just different color.
Why not?
I bought Crest whitening strips because they were half off. I bought aftershave because it was half off. And I bought pre-workout because it was also half off.
You bought pre-workout?
Yes.
To sit on the shelf? It's better to save if you're going to just sit on the shelf.
Yeah, you know. But no, no, the company that I actually liked their pre-workout, it was half off, so... Might as well get it. So yeah, that's the stuff I ordered. I was looking, we talked about it in our group chat. There was a TV, a Toshiba 50-inch with Amazon Fire TV built in for $289. That's the lowest that's ever been. It's usually $399, so that was a pretty good deal. There was a lot of good tech deals too. A lot of Corsair products were on sale. Corsair cases were like 60% off. Some of their K95s and K70 RGB keyboards were like the lowest prices they've ever been. Samsung, I think it was the 960 Evo, was the 512 gig, was like $129 or something like that. There was a lot of good deals. A lot of motherboards were on sale. Asus, Gigabyte, and MSI boards I saw were on sale for pretty low price, like the lowest prices they've ever been as well. So it's a pretty big day for tech. I know that Black Friday was kind of bad when it came to like components and hardware, but yeah. I think Prime Day really, I mean, all of the bigger brands when it comes to PC hardware and PC gaming, they had stuff on sale. So if you were looking to upgrade finally, like you have a keyboard and you want that K95 Platinum, which I believe was also on sale. You know, that's like the keyboard that everybody wants. You know, the past couple of days were the days to get it. So there was a lot of cool stuff. Yeah. If you're looking to upgrade to an SSD, a lot of SSDs were on sale. Normal SSDs, NVMe drives were on sale from SanDisk. Crucial, I saw the Samsung drive was there. For photographers, a lot of SD cards were on sale for pretty low prices. So like the SanDisk Extremes. We're on sale. The SanDisk drive that we're giving away in our giveaway, that was on sale as well. I believe the Samsung drive, the T5, was also on sale. Nice. So there was a lot of tech stuff on sale. I was really surprised. The things that weren't really on sale were TVs. That one TV was, but there wasn't a lot of other ones. There was a couple, but not like the big TV sales you see for Black Friday.
Yeah.
And also camera stuff, like there wasn't a newer GoPro like on a good discount or anything like that, or any of the
it was a GoPro Hero was on
sale. Yeah, and it wasn't like the I believe the newest one either or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't like that awesome deal, because I've been looking to get a GoPro, so I was like, maybe, you know, today I'll get one, and it wasn't,
not worth it.
Yeah, but I believe, to let people know, these were only for Prime customers, correct?
Because I'm not sure about that.
I think it probably is. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure. Day, yeah, right? So I'm pretty sure all these deals were for Prime customers only. So it gives you a little bit back for your, I believe it's, what, $100 a year?
Yeah, yep, $100. I mean, which you make that back, like, real fast anyways.
Yeah, on shipping, I mean, for sure. And, you know, you with Prime, you do get two-day shipping, and yep, you get access to Prime Video, which is a ton of stuff. So if you like to stream content, there's a ton of content on there that you can stream for free, too. Plus, there's other stuff like Prime Music, and I don't even know what else you get on there.
TV, et cetera, yeah.
Yeah, so I've had Prime for, I think, I don't know, a long while.
Years and years.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth that. We'll leave a link in the show notes where you can sign up for Prime if you want. It's worth it. I assume you have it.
Yeah.
So most people I know have it because it's just kind of worth it, especially if you're ordering pretty much anything from Amazon. It takes very little
to pay for the shipping, and then if you use any other parts of the service, it's great too.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, you're going to get your products. It's like guaranteed, 2 or 3 day shipping.
Yeah, it almost like, I feel bad for brick and mortar stores, because I think there is still a place for them, but like 2 days shipping, man, I can wait that.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Like pretty much anytime I can wait that.
Yeah, so. And like you order it, you know, at night, and then you wake in 2 days later, you have it. Like it's just, it's really good. So, and they do Sunday delivery, which is nice too.
Yep.
So anyways, let's get into our reviews this week, and we have our three reviews this week. First is a laptop, or you could call it a 2-in-1, or you can call it a convertible, or you can call it an ultrabook. There's all these different names for this type of laptop. I'll just call it a laptop. Is the Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Yoga, and it's the third generation. So the X1 Yoga from Lenovo, the ThinkPad one, has been out for a while, and there's a bunch of different variations. Like there's the X1 Yoga X1 Carbon. Like there's a ton of different ones, but this is the Yoga version. And of course, the reason that it's called Yoga, it has the flip around screen, so you can do a lot of cool stuff with it that way. I love the flip around screen on any of the Lenovo products. One of the biggest reasons I do is because when I'm on a plane, we all know how small the tray tables are, and if you have a laptop on there that takes up everything, and then you get a drink and you accidentally spill it all over your keys, you can flip.
Hey, don't do that.
Yeah, you can flip this around and put it in the tent mode, and it takes up like hardly any space on the tray table, so you can have food and whatever else, or your phone, or you know. That's one of the big reasons I like the Yoga product. So you have that with this, but this is the newer one. It comes with the brand new Intel 8th generation Core processors. So basically, you're getting a pretty big performance boost over the previous generation. Basically, these have, with ours, it was a Core i5 8250U, which is a low power processor, but it's 4 cores. But with this one, you have hyper threading, so you have 8 threads there. So basically like a 30% performance over the previous generation in the same power envelope, which is good. So the battery life on this is quite good as well. But being a ThinkPad, you have all of those ThinkPad, the things you love about a ThinkPad. One is this, the keyboard. The keyboard on this is like amazing. It's so comfortable to type on. Like once you get in that groove of typing, it's just an amazing keyboard. Everything's spaced out the way you want it. On top of that, you have security features. You know, a ThinkPad is essentially a business laptop, although people buy them for personal use. They're mainly targeted towards business users. So for that, you have a brand new fingerprint reader that has a new design that makes it even harder to forge fingerprints. So, of course, if you're working on sensitive data, you know it's going to be protected well. You also have a really cool feature that is just so simple that I'm surprised more laptops don't have it. Is that on the webcam that's in the right above the screen there's a little shutter that you can actually close. So, I'm, you know, people get really weirded out about people being able to spy on them through their webcam. It's completely possible. It's easily possible. So the Think Shutter, you just close it, and it's, you know, you just have that added protection, which is...
I'm surprised that nobody's done that sooner, actually. I mean, and maybe there are people that do, and I've just never heard of it, but, like, everybody that I see, like, they'll put, like, a torn off sticky note or a sticker or something on it, and it's like, well, that's annoying too, you know?
Yeah, I wanted you have to pull it on and off, and it destroys the look of your laptop, yeah. I feel. Yeah. So you have that feature. This has a Samsung NVMe SSD in it, so loading time super fast, loading Windows and loading programs. The processor has really great performance, like I said, over the previous generation. This also has the ThinkPad Pen Pro, which is their pen that if you're a digital artist, you can do stuff if you just want to kind of mess around with it, you know. So that's good to have as well. It's pretty much like an all-around great laptop for business or even personal use. It also has dual Thunderbolt 3 ports on it, so if you want to connect it to a higher definition display, you can do that. Ours came with a 1080p display, which is fine. It's really good, but you can upgrade to a QHD display or a QHD display with HDR, which has the 500 nits brightness on it too. Those aren't super horrible as far as like price to upgrade. I believe the one's like 98 for the WQHD, and the WQHD with HDR, I think, is like 170 to upgrade, to add on or something like that. So it's not all that bad.
What size was the screen?
1080. It's a 14. It's 14 inch.
14 inch. That's not bad. I think especially with the faster processor, it's probably worth it now to go to the higher resolution display. Whereas in the past, it really 1080 at that size has been just fine. In fact, going to like 4K or anything even near that is like almost too small, too dense, you know?
Yeah.
In that size screen. So I think that at this point, with that processor and the graphics processing that's going to have, it's probably worth it. Especially when it's only $100, $170.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not a bad upgrade. One thing I also like about this is that while the chassis is metal, they have a coating on it, which makes it really nice. I know you have, what laptop do you have? You have the,
Zenbook,
and that's all metal, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes, especially even the Yoga 920 review that I did, which is all metal chassis, is like when you're typing, right, like your wrists kind of touch on that metal, and it gets kind of annoying, especially if you're using the key, the laptop in your lap, or like when you pick it up, it's just like cold and like not comfortable. This has like that kind of rubberish, grippy. I don't know. It's just easier to pick up and easier to move with.
I know what you're talking about. I actually dislike that though. I think it's a work relation that I have though with that laptop because they put that coating on all their work. Their work laptops, and yeah, I don't know. It is a good material. I'll give them that, but I think it's boring looking. It like tones the whole thing down.
Yeah, I agree. But again, this is a ThinkPad, and they
it is a work note.
Yeah, they work. They look the same. But all around, it's a great feature set. It's not terribly expensive. You know, I remember when the first Thunderbolt 3 laptops came out, and they were $1,700, $1,800. The version that we reviewed with the Core i5. And we had the upgrade to a 512 gig NVMe SSD. It's 1428, but prices in general start at around $1,250. So it's not incredibly expensive for what you're getting. And it's a nice upgrade over the previous generation as far as performance goes too. So I like it. So definitely check that review out. And a company that we've never worked with before sent us a motherboard. So it is BioStar. And they sent us their B360 GT3S, which is in their racing line. And it is a micro ATX motherboard, which seems to be kind of coming back, I feel. especially since, you know, a lot of people are doing single graphics card setups in a, you know, you can still, it's not like a mini ITX, but the micro ATX allows you to still kind of build a decent system in a smaller profile than say even a bigger mid tower. You know, you can get micro ATX cases that are pretty small. So that's kind of what this is geared towards. It is in the racing line, so it is geared toward gamers, even though it's a B360. For those who don't know, B360 is part of the Coffee Lake supported chipsets for 8th generation desktop processors. So in order here, we have Z370, H370, B360, and H310. The big difference with Z370 compared to the B360 is that you have support for only a single X16 PCI Express slot and only 12 PCI Express lanes compared to 24 and fewer USB ports. And there's also no CPU or memory overclocking. So this makes it a very affordable choice for people who are not going to touch their memory. They're not going to except for setting your XMP profile, and are not going to touch the CPU as far as overclocking. Also, people who are going to do a single graphics card.
Right.
So people who are just going to buy the parts, put it in, and that's it. And, you know, in terms of performance, this board wasn't all that bad. We tested it with an 8700K, which kind of would be overkill, I feel, for B360. But it performs just in line with most of the other Z370 boards we tested. And for being a BioStar who, like, isn't one of the top three, you know the big top three, it's not in that category, but everything worked the way it should work. You know, there wasn't really any issues. The BIOS is actually good, and their companion software is actually good. It's not these crazy companion softwares that we see with other companies, but it gets the job done and it gives you all the settings that you want. There's also two RGB headers on this, and that's pretty interesting to see, because we see in Micro ATX, we see some companies only put one. There's actually two here. So you can connect, you know, two RGB strips if you want to that and control them via the BIOS or the control software. There are RGB LEDs on this, but they go down the part of the back of the board towards the audio solution, so they're not that great, and there's not a whole lot of settings there, but I don't feel that's make or break for this. I think that, you know, you're looking to save money here when you're buying this type of board. When you're buying a B360, you're looking to save some money, put it towards DDR4 or a graphics card or an SSD.
It might even be a temporary board for you. You buy it so that you can get the rig going, and then you replace it down the road a little bit.
Yeah. You know, there's really no, you know, nothing really horrible about this, except for you can't do any overclocking, really. The performance is good. It's not a super flashy board or anything like that. But it does, as far as performance, it does everything that you're going to want it to do. There are two M.2 slots on it, but there's only one that's PCI Express 3.0 X4. Oh. But you are going to find that on B360 because you only get so many PCI Express lanes to use. So the bottom one is the one that you're going to want to use on that. But I think it's a good board. I think, again, if you're saving money and you don't need all the features and you're not going to touch your CPU as far as overclocking or your memory,
which is more people than you would imagine.
Yeah, and you're running a single card. This is a great solution. Like I said, I was quite impressed. More impressed of the BIOS and the software, honestly. Just because you know, BioStar, just not one of the big three. So we've seen in the past issues with BIOS and issues with software when it comes to not as well-known brands. But it all works great. And the board's $90.
Which is a great entry-level price.
Yeah. So I think that if you're looking to save some money, put some extra money towards, you know, a graphics card or an SSD or some RGB DDR4 or something like that, you can go ahead and do that. So definitely check out the review. It was cool to check out a BioStar product for the first time and see what it's all about. And hopefully we get some, you know, more products from them in the future, because, like I said, I was quite impressed given my expectations. So.
Yeah, especially given their reputation.
Yeah, for sure. So finally, our last review of this week is the ASIO Retro Classic Elwood keyboard. We've seen the Retro Classic from ASIO. It is just a beautiful keyboard, kind of designed after an old school typewriter, kind of steampunky, kind of just retro, as the name suggests. This is their new color version, or new, I don't know what you want to call it, new design as far as
palette, new color palette.
Yeah. And it's the Elwood. It has real wood as well as real metal on it.
I think this kind of takes it away from the steampunk necessarily, or like specifically, and kind of takes it more into just like, I don't know, almost hipster-esque, but maybe not. Maybe that's not the right word either. Maybe just rustic.
Yeah, it's kind more rustic. It's design. More rustic. It honestly makes me think that it should be like in a Western or something.
Yeah.
That's just the way it looks. But it is a beautiful keyboard. They've really done a great job on this line. The upgrades from the one we reviewed a year ago, this one has Bluetooth, which works seamlessly. And this one supports both Mac and PC, and they give you the keycaps. So if you're going to switch to Mac mode, you can put the Mac keycaps on there nice. For the different buttons that are different on that. But it is, you know, it is a mechanical keyboard. So you have the Kale Blue switches, but this is a specifically designed switch that ASIO and Kale worked on together, where the LED is, which is white, is actually right in the center of the key of the switch. Typically, it's at the top. Mm-hmm. This one's right in the center, so you have that great glow that these keys do have, which I think looks really good too. Yeah, and there's no software, so you can't reprogram this. There's no macros. You can't do any of that stuff. You know, connecting it via Bluetooth is quite easy. They have easy instructions on their website, and I believe the user's manual, which I never open, has it too. But I just think it is a good keyboard. It is expensive, but I feel that this is like, you know, we put it in our social media post, like, is this art or a keyboard? Because it feels like a piece of art more than a keyboard sometimes. But it does work well, and it is comfortable once you get used to the round keys which you have there. Mm-hmm. But it is expensive. It's $219.99.
Ooh,
ouch. For the Bluetooth one, and then the wired USB one's $189. So it is expensive, but it's a quality keyboard. Like, it's super heavy because you're using real materials. You're not using plastic or anything like that.
Right.
But again, in the world of RGB and gaming keyboards and macros, if you're a gamer, I really wouldn't suggest this because you're not going to get any of that. You're not going to get any cool lighting effects or anything like that. The lights just turn on and off, and you have, I think, 4 different brightness levels. And the K95 Platinum, I know it was on sale for, I forget what it was on sale for, but it's under $200. I know that. So that's something to think about. You know what I mean? Obviously isn't designed for gamers. It's more of like a boutique type thing. You know, so that's definitely something to keep in mind. But I really like it. It's great quality. Just the price and the fact that you can't set any macros and there's no software kind of holds it back. If you're going to be doing gaming or maybe even some type of video or Lightroom work where you have macros set up for those specific programs. But yeah.
Right.
I like it. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
So that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build from SSPC Modding. I don't think we featured one of his builds in a while. This build, as of the next few, I think, was part of the Case Mod World Series 2018. And it is called Odyssey. And it is done inside of the Cooler Master C700P, which is an awesome case. And it uses 2 different colors. So it uses red and green coolant, contrasting colors. And I actually think it's done well.
It somehow manages to avoid looking like Christmas.
Yeah, right? I do think it is done pretty well. And it's like how he has everything set up with a graphics card, vertical, and the monoblock on there. You don't see much of the board at all, which I think adds to this look.
Yeah, it looks very layered.
Yeah.
I think that's at the end of it, because it's just kind of, it looks like, well, the graphics card is, like you said, vertical in it, so it does overlay the whole left side of the motherboard, but then you have the other block, which makes that look like it's just almost like a second GPU almost, you know?
Yes, yes.
It almost looks like 2 GPUs transposed on each other, but it's interesting.
And it looks like the rear fans have some type of custom cover that he built, and the top or the bottom PSU cover is custom that he built to kind of cover everything else and give it, like you said, that kind of look that it has. One thing I love is the rear where he has the 2 reservoirs, and like just the symmetry there is really amazing.
Yeah, so it actually, I think that's why it feels so kind of layered on the front side, because he's taken half, he's basically probably split the case straight in half, which takes out a lot of room that you are used to seeing inside of the front, the main part of a case, and makes it kind of compresses everything. And so when he does, he's done that and he's managed to fit two full size tube radiator or tube reservoirs in the back and over top of a couple of pumps. So he's got two systems back there. And yeah, you're right. The symmetry between the two is really nice.
Yeah, I
think
really,
the back
really
is actually better than the front of the case.
Yeah, the back is super impressive. I love it. It just looks amazing. Definitely check this one out. He has another one that he's working on that I saw that's also for the Case Mod World Series in a different category, I believe. That's super impressive that I was looking on his Facebook. And we have his Facebook linked. We also have the video that he did for this build and all of the components they use and all that kind of stuff. So definitely check it out. And I say it too much, is that we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So you guys can check all of those out. And we are running our contest. We announced it last week on the podcast, but we are giving away a SanDisk Extreme Portable SSD, the 1 terabyte version. Looking at it right now is that there are 665 entries currently, and there's 15 days left. So you still have a lot of time to get in there. Once you get past the first two required entries, there's 5 more ways to unlock entries. And one of those you can do daily. I'm not going to tell you which one, but you'll see that you'll be able to do it daily. So you can get pretty much the next 15 days, 15 more entries plus the 2 plus 5, so that's a lot that you can get in there. So yeah, so definitely that's an awesome SSD. It is one, you get a lot of capacities. You have 1 terabyte. It's USB 3.1. Obviously backwards compatible, but 550 megabytes a second read and 500 megabytes a second write. So if you want to use it to edit video on, or use it as a drive for photos, you know, for raw photos for Lightroom and stuff. Awesome there. Also,
it's great for a photographer, being that it's IP55 rated.
Yeah, it's IP55 rated. It's rugged. And it's also great to maybe be a game drive that you can take to work with you or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you can do that as well. So great. It's awesome that SanDisk is providing this for us. So definitely get your entry in. Super easy to enter. We'll have the link on the show notes so you guys can get your entry in. And then that brings us to news, and we have some interesting stories. First one is another security flaw in Intel processors. This is a variant of the Spectre vulnerability that was a few months ago, right? Or was it before?
It was pre-CES.
Okay, so
it's probably over 6 months ago now.
Yeah, so this is a new variant of the Spectre CPU vulnerability. It's been discovered by researcher Vladimir Kerensky and Carl Waldsperger. Sorry if I messed up your names. And because they discovered it, they're eligible for the $100,000 bounty Intel was offering to find vulnerabilities in their processors. It looks like they'll be releasing a microcode update, but also Intel plans to release quarterly microcode updates. Every quarter you'll get a microcode update that patches all of this stuff. If it's not some crazy vulnerability, but if it's even a minor one, you'll get quarterly microcode update, which is definitely different. Because you'd see like one or two, and then that would be it. So now we're going to get one every quarter, if not monthly, if this continues. So I guess it's good that these vulnerabilities are being found, and obviously the bounties that both a lot of companies have these bounty programs now where you can find vulnerabilities in their software or their products. So it inclines researchers to go out and actually discover these things that may not be found. Right. It's just more bad PR for Intel, it seems.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because that obviously sucks, but no, that it is found and that they're being proactive about fixing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good they're being proactive about fixing those, and the monthly microcode updates will be well received, I feel, especially when it comes to enterprise users, for sure. So So talking about processors, it looks like AMD will release or launch their Ryzen Threadripper 2 chips, at least two to start, two chips to start on August 13th. That seems to be the day that's been rumored. And the two chips that will initially launch will be the Ryzen Threadripper 2990X. That's the 32-core, 64-thread parts. And then the 2950X, which will be the second part to release that day, apparently. It's rumored to be a 24-core 48-thread part. And no word yet on pricing, but rumors put the 32-core part at around $1,500, where the 24-core will be around $1,150. And we've seen quite a lot of motherboard manufacturers be gearing up for this launch with their second wave of X399 boards. So pretty exciting if you're looking to get into Threadripper. This these new chips will be a lot of cores, a lot of threads, a lot of performance. Yeah.
Now, these are backwards compatible with the old motherboards, but they won't likely have enough power delivery?
Yeah, so they'll, I assume... They'll throttle at some point.
Yeah, which actually they might even cut off cores.
Yeah, so I'm not seriously sure how that works, but technically they are backwards compatible with X399 boards. Right. So, but the new TDP for these are 250 watts. And I don't know what
it was lower, I think.
Yeah, so that's something if you're going to run one of the higher cores, but again. From what I've heard, you're going to get 32 all the way down to 8 in this lineup, I think.
That's that seems in Threadripper.
Yes, or maybe 10. I think 32 down to 10 or 12, something like that. Yeah. But it's going to be a whole lineup. But initially, they'll launch the 32 core first, which is nice because we saw Intel do it backwards. Right. They announced quad core. All the way through 10 core, and then we got the other higher cores after. It seems like AMD is going to go the opposite way and do the higher end 32 core, and then you'll get the trickle down effect after that. So,
well, that's because they have their parts ready to go.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yes, for sure. So that's definitely something to look forward to. Less than a month away from that. It looks like the 8th gen Intel mobile processors are ready. The big announcements, we've seen a lot of companies put them in their products this past week. But the big one, of course, was the MacBook Pro with 8th gen Intel Core processors. So you will be able to run, get a new MacBook with 8th gen 6-core Intel processors. You get a Core i7 and a Core i9 6-core parts there with hyper-threading. So if you are a Mac user, that's a pretty big upgrade over the previous gen. Even in the desktop space, we saw how, adding two cores, going from a quad core to a 6-core part, really changed performance. So if you are a MacBook user, this would be the upgrade to do, I feel. Especially if you're working in video or, video photography, game development, any of that kind of stuff, this would be the upgrade to do. So I know a lot of I know people that have already ordered new ones. So
yeah, this is a lot better than just having your touch bar added.
Yeah, for sure. This is an actual performance upgrade that you'll notice the difference. You'll get up to 32 gigabytes of memory and 4 terabytes SSD. I believe the previous was only 2, so you'll get twice as much storage space. It's gonna be expensive. My friend ordered one of these, and I think it was like $8,000 or something for like the maxed out price.
Yeah. I mean, 4 terabyte, that is NVMe, I believe.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's some fast stuff.
Yeah. So, but like I said, for Apple people, I know a lot of PC guys who run desktops at home that use MacBook Pros as their laptops. So this is the performance upgrade that you're gonna want. So definitely, they're pricey, but it is it's a nice upgrade for you.
It does have that little fruit symbol on the outside. So.
It does. So moving to graphics cards, there's a very interesting story. And it's still, I'm checking the prices. Oh, they changed it. Oh, wait, $589 to $649.
A little bit closer.
Yeah, so they're a little bit closer now. But it's been going on for almost 2 weeks now. Is that, you know, with the NVIDIA GeForce Partner Program, it required graphics card manufacturers, if they want to be part of the program, to not sell AMD graphics cards in their gaming line. For Asus, that meant that their, you know, their Asus ROG, anything in the ROG line that was AMD had to go. So
yeah, basically making it proprietary to NVIDIA.
Yes. And obviously we knew, or we know now, that the GeForce Partner Program has been canceled and all of that. But left in its wake is the Ares graphics card line, which is basically the ROG line with a different name. It's exactly the same. The chips are the same. The PCB is the same. The cooler's the exact same with different stickers. The backplate's the exact same with a different logo. It's the same card.
Yeah.
So interesting enough is that Newegg is selling a Asus ROG Strix Radeon RX Vega 64 for $589. And we wrote this article, and it was going on for over a week. Is that they were selling an Ares Strix Radeon RX 64 for $749. So $160 difference in price. Just, and it's the exact same card, made at the exact same factory with the exact same parts. It's all the same.
I feel bad for the guy that saw the $750 price tag of the Ares and bought it thinking it was better because he didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's way more expensive. I better get this one.
The prices have changed. They're now, it's the ROG card is still the same, $589, but the Strix or the Ares card is now $649, so it's dropped $100. But I do think that you're gonna get that price because it did cost Asus to create this brand. It cost them money. Not a whole lot, but it still did. Sure. And this is their new card going forward. I don't know. I just think that this like, I'm not pissed off at Asus. I'm pissed off at NVIDIA because that's the reason that you're getting this price inconsistency.
Is they created the situation.
Yeah, they created the situation. It sucks. We also know that, Gigabyte or, who else still has theirs? I know MSI is still keeping theirs. And I'm not sure.
I don't have a problem with having the differentiation other than matching motherboard stuff, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with the different brands. I have the problem with the exact same card being sold.
Well, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a sticker. It's legit a sticker. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Because everything is exactly the same. So, like I said, it leaves me pissed off at NVIDIA for creating the situation. And basically now Asus, because of they spent the money to create this brand and do everything and whatever, they essentially have to put a premium on this other card, which sucks.
That, or it could just be like new card pricing.
Yeah, I don't know, but whatever it is.
Or they're trying to clear out the ROG stock, or who knows.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's annoying.
Don't buy the $700 or $650 Aries.
Yeah.
Remember, there's a cheaper
price. And we have the exact product names, like the real product name listed in the article. So if you are looking to pick up one of those, you can search the ROG one by that product name and get the cheaper price. So
yeah.
So moving on to motherboards. We saw this shown off a little bit at Computex, and now it's live in their BIOS. So EVGA on their X299 Dark motherboard, which has been out for a little bit, they've done a new BIOS update that includes in-BIOS stress test and OC robot. So it's annoying when you're doing overclocking testing to load into Windows, have it restart, not know what's going on because you're overclocked and it just fails and you know what I mean. With this, they have a built-in stress test, which you'll be able to see your performance of everything within the BIOS, and an OC robot, which will allow you to have the BIOS set an overclock, which is based on voltage and temperatures and everything like that. And it's cool that it's in the BIOS. Like, it's just...
Haven't we had that? At least quote OC robot. We've definitely seen many variations of that.
We have
outside of BIOS.
Yeah, we have seen it in the BIOS slightly, but it's basically they put your CPU in and they make an overclock for it. It's not like this actually.
Are you sure?
What?
Are you sure this is actually going to do anything that, other than that?
Other
than this is what it should be?
So it sets a temperature, and then it incrementally overclocks till you reach that temperature. And it incrementally not only brings the
CPU voltage.
It not only brings the frequency up, but it brings the voltage up as well.
Right. Well, that's kind of what they all do.
Most of them don't touch the voltage for the most part.
Yeah, if you let them, they will.
Well, yeah, if you change it yourself, but they basically just up the frequency until you reach a thing. And that, like, this implementation seems to be the best one that I've seen. And like I said, it's all in the BIOS, so you don't have to go into Windows and mess around, restart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then on the other hand, too, like, you're removing the stress that is Windows, that is running separate code.
True.
Like, I don't know. I see the idea behind this is like, oh, sweet, you don't got to mess around with that. Because it is annoying to wait for it to boot.
Yeah.
Definitely. And fail. But like, I kind of feel like that's part of the process. And it's, there's nothing real world about stress testing within BIOS.
Very true. I agree. I think it just, it saves the time. I think that's the biggest thing.
It could also potentially leave people stress testing in BIOS, running out, getting to work on something, and then losing all their work when it crashes.
True. Very true. Usually, at least in my experience, typically, even when you're overclocking in a BIOS and it crashes, it still saves your current settings.
Settings, yeah. Like your overclock settings, yes, and BIOS settings. But I'm talking about, like, you overclock it, you boot Windows, you think it's stable, you get like to work on something separate and an alternate.
Oh, gotcha.
And like you got some serious time into something, and then it just crashes on you, and you lose everything.
Yeah, that's why you have autosave turned on, bro. We're not talking about. Oh yeah, no, I know what you mean.
There's things beyond writing.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I've had that problem before, and I got very pissed off because I lost what I was working on.
Like, imagine you were, well, even in Premiere, you should be saving as you go, I guess.
But. Yeah, no, I auto-save in Premiere now. I've had issues where...
now.
Yeah, I've had issues where it, for just some reason, it's Adobe more than anything. Like, just, like, Premiere would just lock up for no reason, like, literally no reason, and I would just lose everything I just worked on, and it was very frustrating, so... Yeah. But yeah, it's cool that they have this in there. I like that EVGA is adding more. I like BIOS. Like, I like, you know, we've gone from like the traditional BIOS to like having cool things in the BIOS because
there's no reason to go into BIOS other than turning off settings.
Yeah. But it's cool that they're adding stuff in there. So if you do have this motherboard, download the latest BIOS and check it out.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Just be a little wary of it, I would say. I still think that like a lot of these like fancy overclocking tools, they are designed to make it easy to overclock so that everybody can do it. I get that. We want more people to be involved, but overclocking is also kind of a geeky, sciencey, do some research thing, you know?
Yes.
And that's for like the safety of your components and you're keeping your work and not losing things and crashing your computer. So I still feel like people should still be doing some research into what they should, you know, like what their processor should be set at and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, we do have turbo mode, you know, which essentially overclocks your CPU for you when you have things running. So, but yeah, let's talk about Aorus. It seems like Aorus wants to have everything.
They want to dip their little greedy fingers into everything, huh?
Greedy
isn't fair.
Yeah, I think Aorus, they're turning into the next... I don't know if I want to say Corsair, because Corsair doesn't make motherboards. But like Corsair is... Or like NZXT, maybe?
Well, NZXT doesn't make GPU.
Yeah.
They don't actually make motherboards either.
Technically, no, but they have one. But anyways, it seems like Gigabyte is setting up Aorus to be the one-stop shop. I assume soon we'll see a PC build configure thing on their website because they basically are selling everything now. So they just launched their Aorus P850 and P750 watt power supplies, which are the perfect wattages for most people. Who are modern systems. Especially people who are going to buy a pre-configured system. This is the first Aorus power supplies. They're 80 plus gold certified, fully modular, all that fun stuff. So now,
I'm surprised they're only gold.
Yeah, I think that's what you need for the price that they're probably going to be offering these at. But the thing, you know, Aorus now sells graphics card, motherboard, memory, case. I know Gigabyte has SSDs, so technically...
I thought Aorus already had an SSD come out, too.
They probably do. I can't think of it. They sell everything. Name something that they don't sell.
I can't think of the case.
They have a couple Aorus cases. I know they might be under the Gigabyte brand, but they have the Aorus logo on them. I know they're Aorus cases. So they have everything. And those Aorus cases aren't that bad, honestly, from the ones that I saw. Yeah.
The biggest thing to me on this is, who are they having build these different parts for them? That's the most important thing. Because they're not just...
Yeah, I don't know who's behind all these
accessories in-house.
Typically, we see, Seasonic or... what's the other one?
I doubt Corsair is making them for them. As far as the power supplies.
Yeah, I don't think.
Even though they have a very Corsair feel to them.
They kind of do. Yeah. I think the big thing with this story is they now offer everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want everything Aorus, you can have it. Do they make RGB strips? They have to.
Not sure.
You know, but eventually we'll see... You know, I would assume that you'll see an entire PC configuration. You know, the only thing they don't make is the CPU, obviously. Yeah. They're turning into that brand. I think it's good competition for other brands that try to do everything. There's a couple of them out there. Like I said, we have the NZXT that does have their PC build configuration tool where you can get a pre-built PC by them. Yeah, all Aorus, everything is kind of cool. I like the color design of Aorus. I always have. I like the RGBs. So to have a fully Aorus system would be cool, in my opinion.
I actually still prefer Gigabyte, but that's okay.
But this is, like I said, this is their ROG, or this is their gaming line, so they're trying to, you know...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, sell to those type of people. So, that kind of rounds out their line of products, because they have everything now. So, but talking about Corsair, they launched a new case yesterday or today. It is part of their Carbide series. It is the Spec 06 RGB. And this is a pretty... It follows that kind of Corsair plain design. I kind of like the front. It has this kind of... I don't know what you want.
Swoosh.
A little swoosh. Design there that has RGB lighting, and it does have a tempered glass side panel that shows everything inside. Great for a pretty basic build, I think. It just looks nice. It reminds me of the aesthetic kind of reminds me of a clean NZXT case almost. Clean. And
their builder that does these advertising builds does a great job with the color palette.
Oh yeah,
with the lighting.
Yeah, pretty. So the RGB, there's two versions. Technically, there's four versions, but there's two versions. There is an RGB and non-RGB version. The RGB version, of course, that front swoosh is RGB. The non-RGB version, it's either white or black, and the case is available in both white and black colors. And it's $89.99 for the case.
Mm-hmm.
And the non-RGB, I believe, is $84.99.
If $5 is the difference.
Yeah, so it's not a big difference, but I think it's a decent price. I'd have to have hands-on with this to go over build quality and things like
that. Yeah, material will really be what it comes down to. It's just basic.
I assume there's, you know, there's like a little intake on the bottom there for the front intakes. And then you have, it looks like you can at least do a 240 up top. And then there's a fan. I don't believe that RGB fan in this press photo is included. I believe it's just a normal fan that's included back there. But you have decent cooling options, it looks like. You could build a nice system that you can show off. Obviously, this photo that they have there is a nice build. Definitely another Corsair case that's pretty affordable.
Decent offering.
Yes. Now, talking about a case that you don't expect from this company, Raid Max announced their X08, which is an open air type design, kind of futuristic looking. It looks a lot like the Cougar. I don't know what that case is called. It looks a lot like, we've seen a lot of cases with this type of design.
It looks awfully close to the Inwin H-frame. Okay. The open air one.
Yeah. So this is an open air design. One thing I like about this open air design, they have put in room for a 360mm radiator at the top, which most kind of, they kind of forget about it. Like Inwin forgets about cooling options. Even though there's not a lot of cooling options, it's still there. I think for Raid Max, this is a good, it is tempered glass and it is real metal from everything that I've read. So no word on how much it will be, but Raid Max cases are typically not that expensive.
Yeah. The H-frame, the Inwin S-frame. It's, everything is great except for that lean to the front for me. Like, that's what, like, takes it into the copycat zone.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That angle on the front panel.
Yeah.
We straighten that up a bit and we'd be good.
Yeah. One thing I don't understand is how old is this motherboard that Raid Max is using on the press button? I think it has DDR3 in it, maybe.
Two, probably.
Yeah. What's interesting about this press photo too, that I just noticed, is that the GPU isn't even plugged in.
No, that would be wiring.
Yeah.
And they ran
P something board, an old Asus P something. This is a really old board. Whoever made
extremely old. It's P5.
Yeah. Can't see that anymore. But anyways, that's really fun.
What is that? It's not even full ATX.
Yeah, actually, we should tweet out this press photo and ask them what's up.
Why? Why not spring for some modern components, guys?
Yeah.
I wonder what that GPU is then. That's got to be like a 6 or a 7 series.
I don't even know. It doesn't have the backplate, so that eliminates...
it's got to be a 6 or a 7 series, yeah, I think. So.
I like the case. I think it's a cool design. I think if knowing Raid Max, which their cases are pretty affordable... If they had this around the $100 range, would be perfect.
I think they could get a little more for it. I think they could get a little more for a case with this design, but I'm guessing parts of it, like the IO panel, is gonna feel a little chintzy cheap coming from them. Like, you know what I mean? Like how some of those parts can just,
yeah, and I don't,
areas just don't have the same quality.
It looks like, if you look at the back view, does look like the metal there is kind of thin, but
it looks pretty thin. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so
it's maybe eighth inch.
Yeah. So you have to look at the build quality of this, but I like it. Like when I saw this, I was like, wow, Raid Max. Okay. Like,
yeah,
that's a good, like, I like this, and everything like that. So no word on pricing. Hopefully, we'll see a price soon and maybe we can get one of these into review and tell you if it's, as good as it looks or it's a little flimsy. So one last story. If you are a CSGO player in Belgium and the Netherlands, this is a big deal to you. In the latest patch to Counter-Strike Go, Valve has disabled loot boxes for players in the Netherlands and Belgium. So you can't even open these. You'll get loot, you'll accumulate loot boxes in these countries, but you won't even be able to open them. Which is kind of a big deal. I don't know how their whole loot box system works. If it gives you, I haven't played CSGO in forever, enough to really tell you what these loot boxes give you. Like if they give you better guns or anything like that. Like I know in,
I believe they do because CSGO is really the ones where the gambling and the resale market is like super controversial.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, Valve is trying to comply with the Netherlands and Belgium as far as gambling goes, and loot boxes, I guess, have to do with that. This is one of the bigger stories with the loot boxes, just for the fact that it limits gamers now in certain regions, you know, from getting these items, which, you know, that's kind of why you play the game.
Yeah, if that's the only way to get the item, then they're definitely left out of that. Which is, honestly, that's probably Valve's point, is to, like, cut that off and create a public outcry and say, oh, you didn't consider that, did you?
Yeah. So that sucks for those players. You know, in the United States, we don't have this, but it might be because they're trying to crack down on all this stuff. We saw it with the loot boxes in in Star Wars Battlefront 2, you know? So we'll have to see. But big story for CSGO players. And that is the news for this week. Coming next week, we have some really cool products we're taking a look at. So first, I will be reviewing the AMD Ryzen 7 2700X. That's the flagship second gen Ryzen processor there. Pretty excited to check that out. And I have a new X470 board to test that with. So I'm excited to kind of jump into all of that. Also be taking a look at the Viotech, their GN24C, which is a 24-inch, 144Hz, 1080p gaming monitor. It ticks all the boxes when it comes to, you know, that type of monitor. 24-inch, 144Hz, 1080p. It is curved, and it supports FreeSync. Their other one, their 27-inch, which was 144p, which was 1440p, that one performed really well, and it kind of cuts out the prices that you get from some of these. It cuts out, like, some of the things that you just don't really need, like a USB 3.0 port, and, you know, just, it's a cheaper alternative that gives you the performance, you know, kind of like that BioStar board. It gives you the performance, but you kind of don't get some of the other features that you would get. So if you are looking, and this one's $219.99, which is a pretty good price for that, all those specs that you're going to get there. And it might be even cheaper. That's on their website. It might even be cheaper on Amazon. So I'll be checking that out. And then Ryan is checking out a Super RGB keyboard.
Super.
From Rosewill. It is their Neon K81, which is a mechanical keyboard, super RGB'd out. I'm interested to see the different settings, or if that's just like that single wave that you're going to get
on this. The exterior.
Yeah. Because I do like it in some cases.
I'm curious to see some lighted shots, because all their press photos and advertising photos, they all have it look like it's just like this floating neon bit. I want to see, like, the actual frame of the keyboard.
Yeah. So we'll have to see that. I know Ryan's going to have some good shots of all of that. But it's a mechanical keyboard. Looks like it comes with software. So it'll be interesting to see how the software is, too. We see that being a big issue with a lot of this stuff, too. So that is what we have coming up next week. And, of course, at the end of the podcast, we always talk about if we have done anything cool or saw any movies or anything like that. As always, I'll let Derek go first if he did anything cool. Or
I watched A Quiet Place.
What is that?
It's with Jim from The Office. I don't
know. Oh, okay, yeah. I really find it hard for him to be in serious roles. Like, he's doing the Jack Ryan thing on Amazon, and I always see previews, and I'm like, I don't know. It's hard to see
him.
You
just don't see him. Yeah. His face isn't actually very serious looking.
Yeah.
And add that to, like, was it 7 seasons of The Office? Maybe it's more.
I think it's at least 7 seasons. Yeah. I think it's 8, I believe.
Of him being, like, the complete jokester. And yeah, good luck taking him serious. But he himself did a fantastic job. I thought that he played his role really well. I felt like the movie as a whole was about a 6 out of 10, though.
Okay. So I actually watched a movie. I watched
all the way through.
Yeah. It was pretty bad to watch all the way through. it was Tomb Raider. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it was great.
You liked it.
Yeah.
It was so unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I know it's Tomb Raider.
What do you mean?
But like, you expect these to be like semi believable, and so many parts in it were just like not believable. I was just like, you know, I don't know.
I guess I'd have to hear some specifics. I thought it was fun.
It was good. I liked the action, and I like that whole set. Like I like the whole Tomb Raider universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did like it for that, but I was just like, I expected so much more. I guess.
Maybe I enjoyed it more because it seems like it's been a long time since we've had like a Hidden Worlds movie, like a good, like even a halfway decent one, where like you're discovering hidden things and stuff, you know, kind of like the National Treasure or whatever, you know, that type of movie. Like I thoroughly enjoy those kind of movies, and so I just doesn't feel like I've seen one in a long time, so maybe that's part of why I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I think that I mean, I miss those type of movies too. I don't think we have enough of them, honestly.
I think they're hard to write.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that's all I did. Also, season 5 of Fortnite started. I haven't even played yet, so I'm pretty excited to jump into that. So if you see us in our Discord playing, jump on and play with us.
Some good games coming here soon, actually. When is Battlefield? What are they calling this one now?
Battlefield 5.
Is it 5?
Yeah, Battlefield V or 5 or whatever you want to call it. But
that's right, yeah.
Yeah. When's that coming out? I think it's closer to holiday. Okay. That's going out.
That's when you're going to hear me talk about games again, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it comes out for a little bit. Mostly, like, we are getting close. Like, it's, you know, August is right around the corner, and then we get into getting closer to holiday season, so we see a lot of game launches. We see a lot of product launches coming up as well, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's actually, it's October 11 and for early access, and then October 16 for slightly earlier access, and October 19 for standard.
Yeah, that's EA, man. That's
it, yeah. Man. Yeah, so. There's multiple levels of early access now.
Yeah, so, but yeah, definitely stay tuned for that. And like I said, jump on our Discord. There's a ton of people in there. And, you know, you can see when we're playing games and all that kind of stuff. So you can, you know, jump in a game with us if we're playing anything. So that is it for this week, guys. As I always say, we have a full list of show notes. So as we're talking about these products or just our news in general, you can click through and get all of the information on that, more than probably what we talked about. And if you're looking to subscribe or anything like that, there is a subscribe button on the website on the show notes page. But it's just Think Computers, all one word. You should find us in your favorite podcasting app or website. So until next week, catch you guys later.